whitewashing. The sunshine struck hot on his fur, and soft breezes caressed his heated brow. Jumping off all his four legs at once in the joy of living and the delight of spring without its cleaning, he pursued his way across the meadow till he reached the hedge on the further side.
"Hold up," said an elderly rabbit at the gap. "Sixpence for the privilege of passing by the private road."
He was bowled over in an instant by the impatient and contemptuous mole, who trotted along the side of the hedge, chaffing the other rabbits as they peeped hurriedly from their holes to see what the row was about.
Onion sauce," he remarked jeeringly,
and was gone before they could think of a thoroughly satisfactory reply. Then they all started grumbling at each other.
"Oh, how stupid you are! Why didn't you tell him? Well, why didn't you say? You might have reminded him,"
and so on in the usual way. But, of course, it was then much too late, as is always the case. It all seemed too good to be true. Hither and thither through the meadows he rambled busily, along the hedgerows, across the copses, finding everywhere birds building, flowers budding, leaves thrusting, everything happy and progressive and occupied. And after all, the best part of a holiday is perhaps not so much to be resting yourself as to see all the other fellows busy working. He thought his happiness was complete when suddenly he stood by the edge of a full-fed river. Never in his life had he seen a river before. This sleek, sinuous, full-bodied animal, chasing and chuckling, gripping things with a gurgle and leaving them to fling itself on fresh playmates that shook themselves free and were caught and held again. All was a shake and a shiver, glints and gleams and sparkles, rustle and swirl, chatter and bubble. The mole was bewitched, entranced, fascinated. By the side of the river he trotted as one trots when very small, by the side of a man who holds one spellbound by exciting stories. As he sat on the grass and looked, a dark hole in the bank opposite, just above the water's edge, caught his eye, and dreamily he fell to considering what a nice, snug dwelling place it would make for an animal with few wants and fond of a Bijou riverside residence above flood level and remote from noise and dust. As he gazed, something bright and small seemed to twinkle down in the heart of it. Then, as he looked, it winked at him, and so declared itself to be an eye, and a small face began gradually to grow up round it, like a frame round a picture. A brown little face with whiskers, a grave round face with the same twinkle in its eye that had first attracted his notice, small neat ears and thick silky hair. It was the water rat.
"Hello, Mole," said the water rat.
"Hello, rat," said the mole.
"Would you like to come over?" inquired the rat presently.
"It's all very well to talk," said the mole rather pettishly.
The rat said nothing, but stooped and unfastened a rope and hauled on it, then lightly stepped into a little boat which the mole had not observed. It was painted blue outside and white within, and was just the size for two animals. And the mole's whole heart went out to it at once, even though he did not yet fully understand its uses. The rat sculled smartly across and made fast. Then he held up his forepaw as the mole stepped gingerly down.
"Lean on that," he said. "Now then, step lively."
And the mole, to his surprise and rapture, found himself actually seated in the stern of a real boat.
"What a wonderful day," said he as the rat shoved off and took to the sculls again. "Do you know, I've never been in a boat before in all my life."
"What?" cried the rat, open-mouthed. "Never been in a... You've never... Well, what have you been doing, then?"
"Is it so nice as all that?" asked the mole shyly, though he was quite prepared to believe it as he leant back in his seat and felt the boat sway lightly under him.
"Nice? It's the only thing," said the water rat solemnly, as he leant forward for his stroke. "Believe me, my young friend, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, half so much worth doing as simply messing about in boats. Simply messing," he went on dreamily, "messing about in boats. Messing... look ahead, rat," cried the mole suddenly.
It was too late. The boat struck the bank full tilt. The dreamer, the joyous oarsman, lay